Good morning again. If you want to take out your bulletin, there is an outline that you can follow along this morning. I don't know how easy it's going to be, but you can follow along with me so if you'd like. But yeah, obviously, we are just days before the election in our country. Yeah, I could stand here today and tell you who and what I think you should vote. I could tell you that you should stand for conservative agendas. I could tell you that we are not voting a pastor-in-chief, but a commander-in-chief. I mean, I could tell you that there really is a certain way Christians should vote. I mean, you know the truth. I mean, we want to make America great. No, we are all just tired of all the political information and process. I mean, sometimes we even wonder, what is the use? I mean, what do we even need to be a part of? Do we need to go vote? Do we need to be a part of this process? I mean, as Christians, it doesn't matter. Our vote don't count. But let me tell you, your vote does count. Not because we are Christians, but because we are American citizens. And just like the video we watched, I mean, just think if we keep our promises and we do what we're supposed to do as a church. Because you see, it doesn't matter what politics is. That's not going to make the difference. It's Jesus. And that's why we have said this year, we knew that it's going to be a crazy year. Hey, Jesus, choose Jesus in 16. Because he's really the hope, the heaven-sent hope. And you know, it's really no different in Bible times. I mean, you see, when Jesus came the first time as to be the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you still had to choose, and you still had to have this political system. You know, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. So in other words, even when the prophets was prophesying about a Messiah, a King of Kings to come, people didn't know. They had to figure it out. You know, they had politics just like we did. You know, politics, politicians. I mean, they act like kids choosing sides for a sandlot ball game. I mean, pick me, pick me. I'm better than he is. Pick me, pick me. But problem is, we never find out why. Why are they better? You know, we have wishy-washy politicians. I mean, stand for nothing and everything. Stand on both sides of every issue. I mean, that's what they did in Jesus' time. I mean, was the baptism of John from heaven or from man? Again, answer me. They began reasoning among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? But shall we say from men? They were afraid of the people, for everyone considered John to have been a real prophet. Answering Jesus, they said, we don't know. And Jesus said to them, nor will I tell you by what authority I do these things. I mean, there was the muckraking, the mudslinging politicians. I mean, resort to lies, slander, and false witnesses. I mean, are you tired of it? I mean, yes, this is what happened in Bible times too. I mean, it says, then they secretly induced men to say, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came up to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. I mean, they put forward false witnesses who said, this man incessantly speaks against the holy place and the law. I mean, there's even murderous politicians. I mean, we'll resort to supporting killings of the innocent if it pleases the people. I mean, listen right here in Scripture. Now about the time of Herod, the king, he laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. But when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. You see, the only difference is to have the people's party choice. See, Jesus of Nazareth, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Lords of Lords. He is the anointed one and the only begotten Son of the living one, the living God. I mean, let's kind of examine some reasons why we should choose the people's choice candidate, which is Jesus. First of all, let's look at some qualifications of this people's choice candidate. I mean, he had a humble beginning. I mean, a humble birth, a humble life, a humble death. Glorious resurrection. Folks, Jesus is the only one that's going to make a difference in the world. And that is through us. You know, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. See, he humbled himself to come live among us, to be a part of us. He was homespun education. I mean, he was home and church schooled. I mean, he astonished the big city teachers. I mean, the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He is full of honesty. He's absolute integrity. I mean, truth is his name. Truth is his game. I mean, polls don't change him. See, Jesus' reason for coming has never changed. He came to this earth to be among us and to save us and to buy us and to be our king. So then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, and they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Hey, teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God in truth and deferred to no one. You are not partial to any." And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And he was holy, holy and sinless. I mean, there's no hidden skeletons in his closet. I am touched with our weakness, tempted without sin. I mean, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. See, he's been there. He knows what we're going through. He can get us through anything. He was the helper of the needy. I mean, he never met a person with a need that he didn't try to meet. I mean, it says in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captivities and recover the sight of the blind and to set free those who are oppressed." See, he came to help the poor, to help the needy in harmony. I mean, he bridged the gaps between all parties. He's no respecter of persons or personalities. I mean, opening his mouth, Peter said this, "I must certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I mean, therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, Now remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barriers of the dividing walls by abolishing his flesh and enmity, which is the law of the commandments contained in the ordinance, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. You see, he was also healthy, you know, because he is in perfect health. I mean, the reports of his death was highly exaggerated. You know, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man, clothed in the robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it had been made to glow in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. See, in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessory for them." You see, God, Jesus, has the qualifications to be our king, to be our leader, to be the one that we choose. Well, let's look at the platform of this People's Party candidate. You talk about civil rights. He said, "Whoever will may come." You know, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." And let the one who hears say, "Come." And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. See, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. He has a peace program. His peace treaty that stands the test of time. I mean, because he even says, he says, "I am the peace that I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. But be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." He is the peace. Now, defense and labor. I mean, he's fair to all, preferential to none. I mean, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exults, and with my song I shall thank him. The Lord is their strength, and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd also, and carry them forward forever. I mean, he tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. See, for our struggle, it's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the devil, resist in the evil day, and that having done everything to stand firm, Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of that evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Now he says, come to me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. See, all can come to Jesus. He even has an ecology to protect, to preserve, and to provide. See, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. See, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and ruler over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of all the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the air of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on the earth, which has life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. See, God saw that what he has made, and behold, was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. See, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glories that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. You see, health, education, welfare. I mean, the whole don't need a doctor, but they need to aid the needy. See, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. But then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Now the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it unto me. So teaching them to observe all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He goes, what use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? See, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? See, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. And he also has an economic policy. See, if you place this candidate, Jesus, in charge of your life, all will be provided for. I mean, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one or love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. So you cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worthy much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the fields grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. You know, he even has a foreign policy. His foreign policy is every person, every ethnic group is precious to God. I mean, he tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, he says, let love of the brethren continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. See, remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. You see, it doesn't matter who ends up in office. God is still in control. I mean, maybe not what we expect, but he is in control. He is still on the throne. And again, that is why we are needing to choose Jesus 16. Because he's the only hope. He's the only thing that's going to make a difference in this world. But it's through his church. You see, it's not that government needs to take care of welfare or social issues or even death. See, the church is the one that's supposed to take care of the needs. Jesus takes care of them through us. And that's only it's like the video we watch. How we make a difference is we keep our promises as the church, as the kingdom of God. You know, that's why the People's Party candidate has no equal anywhere. He is out of this world. And you know, there are some votes that are cast already. I mean, many have voted yes for him. Many voted no. And there's even some people that's undecided. So the question is, who will you choose? I mean, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or the obedience resulting in righteousness? See, so how to cast your ballot? How are you going to cast your ballot? You know, you got to know his qualifications and you got to know your needs. See, therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not even in this book, meaning the Bible, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. See, you got to commit yourself to a lifetime of obedience. Because he who believes in the Son, what's it say? Has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. See, we have to turn from sin and self and receive hope and holiness. Because we are set apart as believers. You know, Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. See, we have to get active in the campaign till the final trumpet blows, until the end. I mean, it's a constant. It's an always thing. See, and he said to them, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. See, the people's choice candidate is the real choice. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And it's personal. I mean, the ballot has to be cast by you. You're the only one that you can accept him. And you alone. You see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So again, only you can choose. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And folks, we are in a perverse generation. Elijah came near to all people and said, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. You see, we have to choose. We have to choose. Are we going to choose Jesus? You know, this political system that we're going through, you know, it's divided our country. It's divided us as Christians. But the thing about it is, it doesn't matter, because Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the one that's going to make a difference. And it's not just our country, it's the world. You know, it got me thinking, and I came across a video. Now, I want to play that for you. It's a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman. He just wrote it about a week ago about all this political situation. But it's so true. God is still on the throne. Father, we do know that you are on the throne, the Almighty throne, and that we know that you will take care of us because we have chosen your Son, Jesus. And we know that he is the only one that will make the difference in this world. But he will make that difference through us. And so, Father, I pray that we have the boldness, the desire, the ability to take this gospel to this world and change it for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise team is back up here. And we're going to sing a song right now of decision. And, you know, as I've been talking, we have to choose Jesus. And if you need to choose Jesus for the very first time in your life and make him Lord and Savior of your life, and you need to be baptized for him, do that as we sing. Please stand and sing with us. Time for prayer requests. Again, on the back of your bulletin, there's our prayer request with some names of those that we know that are having some physical problems and are either in the hospital or is just dealing with some things. So we want just to ask you to keep them in your prayers, but let's pray right quick. And as you can see right there, Sabrina is having surgery on Tuesday, so let's pray. Father, we come to you right now, knowing that you are the God that heals, the God that takes care of us. And we pray right now for those that are on our prayer list, Father, that you will continue just to be with them and comfort them and heal them, Father. But also we pray for Sabrina as she was having surgery Tuesday, and how she will, we just pray that you guide the doctors to go in and be able to take this out of her back and to be able to make things just heal so well so she can quit having the pain. But most of all, Father, we know that you're in control. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. We're going to continue in worship with a couple of songs, so you can either stand or stay seated or whatever, but sing with us.
Mm-hmm.